Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol, who said, of course, after the Everton game, the league is over for Liverpool. It really is now, as they could only manage a 2-2 draw against West Ham. Once again, they concede the first goal. Bowen with the opener to make it 1-0. We saw Robertson, though, with a nice equaliser in the second half to level things. And then Liverpool would take the lead. Oh, ball pinging around everywhere in the box. In the end, of course, it comes off Areola to make it 2-1. Then a huge chance for McAllister with a header. He couldn't find the back of the net. And then West Ham would punish Liverpool as we see Antonio get the equaliser to make it 2-2. We saw Klopp and Salah arguing ahead of Salah being subbed on. There was a late incident which Gakpo maybe could have scored. Anthony Taylor trying to dig himself out of a hole. In the end, giving a free kick. But what it all means is that Liverpool sit third in the table. They're only 2 points, of course, off Arsenal, one adrift of Manchester City. But both of those sides have games in hand. We welcome in Frank Leboeuf to the show, but obviously I want to start with... Where are you, Frank? Very tropical behind you.
I have a problem with my background, so I have a painting, and it's beautiful painting. I had to put it, so I'm sorry about that.
No, don't apologise. There's a lot to ask you about that, Frank, but as we will start with the football that we saw today. Why, Stevie? Was there not a feeling that after what happened against Everton that we'd come out and fight and show that Liverpool spirit? And
Well, we saw that at the start of the second half.
Yes, but the second half is 45 minutes.
Correct, yeah. Well, the problem was, I think they felt sorry for themselves in the first half.
Would you think so?
I mean, even though they had control of the game, they had most of the possession in the game, but there was no real urgency and no real sharpness and no real fire in the belly. And I think they were feeling sorry for themselves. And as expected, there's no question that Klopp gave them a rocket at half-time. Didn't make any changes, sent the same lot out, basically saying, right, you better go and show me what you can do. And for, 25, maybe 30 minutes of the second half, they were in total control, scored the two goals. And as we saw in the highlight, the McAllister header that didn't go in, I think, was the big changing point. Because from there, Liverpool got a bit safe, sat a little deeper. You know, they had been closing the ball down the whole of the second half from the get-go and were just dominating. They stopped doing that, let West Ham back in the game, and then you saw the goal. It's a great cross and a fantastic header. And bye-bye Premier League.
Frank, just take me through the mentality of the players and that flat performance in the first half. Because from the outside in, you're like, right, you know, come on, let's give it our all. But there was none of that in the opening 45 minutes.
No. There wasn't. And sometimes, and most of the time, you know, we talk about Liverpool and we give credit to their intensity that they put in the game offensively, but also defensively. When they are always there, you know, try to get the ball back as soon as they lose it. Today, on top of not being there offensively, they were completely slow defensively, and all the two goals, you can see they're not ready for the corner. Bowen can be easily alone because they decided to go with the tactic of a zone marking. Nobody reacts. Quensa see McAllister coming in front of him. He doesn't move, and then there is Bowen. And Bowen scores. And the second one as well. You know, you have a mistake from Alisson, and 1 minute after, Quensa again, you know, forgets Antonio, who goes behind him and doesn't follow him. That's something we didn't see for most of the season. But right now, they lost everything. They lost the intensity. They lost their sharpness. Well, they lost what makes Liverpool the best, maybe in Europe. It's being hungry, and they're not hungry anymore.
Well, you know what made it really noticeable, the flat start that Liverpool had in the first half, is that you look at Luis Diaz, and he's running around, right? He's getting the ball deep. He's running at defenders. He's trying to create. He's going outside. He's going inside, trying to get shots on. And then you compare that to the rest of the team, and it's like it's two different personalities. There was a part in the first half in which McAllister is passing the ball back and forth. I believe it was with Trent Alexander-Arnold. And he had an opportunity to actually turn and switch the point of attack. And no, they complete about two or three passes between each other, and it's five-yard passes. And you see at the bottom of the screen, Jurgen Klopp like, what are we doing? What's going on? Let's speed it up over there. I don't care about this 5-yard passes here. Let's take this ball into the attacking half. Let's force West Ham to defend. Let's find some dynamic movement. Let's find some energy in the attack, because they can defend us if we move dynamically, as, say, for example, Luis Diaz had been moving the whole 45 minutes. The rest of the team wasn't there. And it was surprising to see, because you would think that this would be the moment in which you say to yourself, look, we have to be perfect from here on out. Let's put some pressure on those that are above us. We're going to be good. We deserve better than what we must demand better than what we have done over the last couple of weeks. Here we go. It's us. It's Liverpool. It's history. It's the energy. It's intensity. And it wasn't there. And it's just amazing to see when we have seen the best of Liverpool, right? And then you see this drop off. The contrast is so clear, it's so dramatic, that it's difficult to believe that it's actually happening.
The drop-off has been noticeable since the FA Cup tie.
Mm, yeah.
And the more you think about the little tit-for-tat that Klopp had with Salah, you wonder if there's a little bit of finger-pointing been going on.
OK, well, before you go on that, let's hear what both had to say about the incident. First, here's Klopp.
No. We spoke about that in the dressing room, and with that, it's done for me. That's all, and that's it.
So then we saw Mo Salah walking through the mix zone. That's where the journalists wait to do their interviews. He said, "There's going to be fire today if I speak."
Okay.
And we heard reports as well that coming off the pitch, we saw Klopp hug every single one of his players, apart from Mo Salah. Go back to what you mean. What do you mean, finger-pointing?
Well, the season's collapsed rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to lose games, and it's one thing to drop points, but in the manner that it's happened, makes you wonder why. And it's not that there's a couple of players. I picked out the front players in particular over this spell, but all around the field, That lack of spark and desire and hunger that Frank was talking about has gone. And there has to be some sort of reason for that, that a whole unit basically drops off at the same time. And the only thing I can come up with is a little bit of dissension, which is absolutely not something that we've ever spoken about or thought would happen with Klopp as the manager. And this little spat was started by Klopp. And it can only be...
because he came up and said something,
absolutely,
yes?
Absolutely. Mo Salah was getting ready to get on the field, thinking about what he had been told to do and what he was going to do. And then Klopp goes over and just a little whisper in his ear that lights the firework. Now, I don't think it's... I don't think you need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that it wasn't something complimentary. Why would you do that?
That goes against everything we think about.
It goes against every single thing that normally would happen to any team, never mind Liverpool. So clearly Klopp has got a problem right now with Mo Salah.
How much is this to do with him leaving? I know you've said to me, look, he said he was leaving, and then the FA Cup, they were brilliant, Carabao Cup, what, you know. But there's got to be something there, isn't there? It can't just be a coincidence that this season has fallen apart so dramatically and he's leaving at the end of their campaign.
Well, I think that's the easy conclusion to come to. But the fact is, and it wasn't me that said that last week, I think it was Frank, you know, when he came out and said he was leaving, it almost galvanised them. So, are we really going to switcheroo and completely go the other way?
But
I don't think
so. Is it a case that they don't have to impress him anymore?
I think there's no question there's a personal thing with the two of them.
Right.
There's no question there's a personal thing. But add to that the fact that the whole team has dropped off would suggest that there's some sort of underlying current, shall we say.
Well, but if indeed you're correct and it is a personal thing between Klopp and Salah, I can't imagine that it's just for what he said to him going on the field. This is things that must have been brewing for a while. That undercurrent that you're talking about, these things are bubbling under the surface, and this was a moment in which it just kind of blew up. And if I'm Mohamed Salah, and I'm upset that I'm not playing, right? And now I'm about to come on the field. I mean, what could be so egregious that Jurgen Klopp says to me that I just go crazy? And to the point to where Darwin Núñez is the voice of reason. What? Darwin Núñez is the one saying, hey, focus on what we're doing. Let's get on the field. I can't imagine that it would have been something else other than, hey, Salah, Mo, we need you to come out there and make a difference. And maybe that was enough for Salah to just kind of say, yeah, if you want me to make a difference, I should have started the game.
Right.
He's just dropped a little hand grenade, didn't he?
Jan was at the game, and he said you could see in the warm-ups, you know, when the subs are warming up, Salah was not involved, just not happy with anything that was going on. Obviously, not starting would be the trigger of that.
Right.
Oh, good guessing game. What did Klopp say?
Well, the thing is, if this is all over because Mo Salah's not starting, then you have to question what's going on with Mo Salah. You know, because at the end of the day, the best players know when they're playing well and when they're not.
Mm.
And they know when the whistle goes, regardless of whether they get the man of the match or not, they know whether they've actually been at it or not. And so Mo Salah should know he hasn't been at it. And he should accept the way that every single player accepts when they're not at it and if they're not picked is for a good reason. And nobody, when they saw this team sheet, I don't believe, turned around and questioned why Mo Salah was not playing. Because we all know Mo Salah has been invisible for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Frank, what's your reading of the whole situation?
Well, I'm with the guys, you know, we'll know maybe sometime from now. What really happened to the dressing room and which made them disconnect from who they are and what they are capable of doing. Maybe something is hidden or has been hidden. Maybe we'll discover why Klopp said before the end of the season he left, and maybe there are some stuff. But still, let's say that Klopp said something bad to Mo Salah. There is, a hierarchy. Mo Salah is a worldwide star of football, and many, many young players are watching him as an example. So, except if Klopp insulted his family or I don't know what it could be, which I doubt. I think he only said maybe, you know, move a little bit more than usually. Well, or definitely what you've done the last three, four weeks, and I would be happy. And he got angry. You don't do that. I'm sorry. You do something in the dressing room. You maybe come to Klopp and you say, you know what? Shut up. You didn't put me on at the beginning. I'm going to try to save your ass, but that's the only thing I can do, so leave me alone. But don't move. Don't do stuff like everybody's going to see it. It doesn't help the club. It doesn't help your image. And even if you're right, you're wrong. So it's sad to see that because Liverpool also had the image of everybody together, family, club, and club being the father or the big brother of all the players. It's sad to see that.
It's also the continuation of Mo Salah and what he does after the match is over is the fact that
he's the first one off the pitch.
Right, first one off the field. All right, so now there's more continuation. But even beyond that, he can defuse this. Jurgen Klopp, whether he's right or wrong, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. He defused it. He said, we talked about it, it's done. But then Mo Salah says, no, it's not over because if I speak today, then it's fire. Okay, so now we have to speculate. He could have done a whole lot for himself, for Liverpool, for Jurgen Klopp, and said, yeah, we talked about it, it's done. But now it hasn't been defused. That hand grenade that we're talking about is about to blow up.
See, how weird is it going to be for the next month at, like, Liverpool training?
Well, I think the most important thing is tomorrow. What happens tomorrow? If they both figure it out, and it's something that can be figured out, and it's, I don't know, maybe he was being sarcastic and Salah took it the wrong way. Whatever it is, tomorrow's the day where Klopp picks the phone up and meets him, and they sort it out.
Right.
And if they do that, then it will be done by Monday.
Meanwhile, we saw in the Champions League, didn't we, the Arsenal-Bayern game, a strange incident involving the goalkeeper, the defender, I think it was Gabriel, wasn't it, who picked the ball up. And something kind of similar here. Now, what preceded this was a challenge that we saw on Areola. Now, the referee did not give a free kick at the time.
This is weird.
And then he blows the whistle here. We need to see the whole thing, really. Like, so then... So then Gakpo obviously doesn't kick the ball in because the referee's blown the whistle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell you what the damning evidence... I tell you what the damning evidence here. It's when Anthony Taylor comes to Areola, and Areola is like, he's about to play. He's struggling physically, but he's about to play. And Anthony Taylor is basically pulling his shirt, his jersey, like, no, you got to go down and let me bring in, hey, somebody, bring in and take care of him so that I can cover myself. And that is very... It's a obvious. Poor image. It is very obvious because now you know what has happened. You know you have set to play on. You know that he put the ball out there, and then you're trying to protect your own mistake and cover it up by saying, Areola, no, go down and let the people come and take care of you. Yeah. No, when do you see referees actually like hanging out by the player who's not on the ground to tell him go on the ground so that these guys can help you? That is damning evidence.
He's covering himself here, Frank.
Oh yes, and I'm not very fond of Anthony Taylor, I have to say, and he made another mistake with his assistants where there was a cross for Liverpool, and Koufal made a fantastic save, but because it was Nunez, and everybody knows that Nunez is capable of missing a 3-yard goal, he gave a kick for West Ham. And I say it's unbelievable because we all saw that Koufal kicked the ball, but he didn't move and he didn't say anything. And Nunez was so upset that he had to come and explain to him. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, and I don't understand why Gakpo stopped. He should have scored the goal, and then we see the problem because now we can only speculate. Yeah, if he had scored, what would have happened? We would never know.
But I think Anthony Taylor blows the whistle.
Taylor just plays it in time, doesn't he?
Anthony Taylor sees the goalkeeper throwing the ball out.
Right.
He then sees Gakpo starting to run. Mm. And he immediately blew his whistle, which is why Gakpo stopped.
Are you angry by this? You don't seem that bothered almost by this.
Well, because Liverpool are not winning the Premier League.
Right.
Regardless of whether they had 3 points today, Liverpool's not winning the Premier League.
A disappointing night once again at Old Trafford for Manchester United fans as they can only manage a 1-1 draw against Burnley. They would take the lead with 10 minutes to go. A horrible back pass from Burnley would see Anthony get in to make it 1-0. However, a penalty given after Onani punched a Burnley player in the face. Can't do that. Would see a penalty kick awarded. Amdouni step up and convert in that. United won a late penalty. It wasn't given as it finishes 1-1. So we wouldn't really maybe discuss this game in that much detail because we talk about United a lot. But then Ten Hag comes out and says this. We are one of the most dynamic and entertaining teams in the league at this moment. Huh? We are creating loads of chances by playing good football. It was unnecessary to lose control. Why do this to yourself?
I don't know.
Why come out? Why?
You said it earlier.
Why? Well, you know, because I think we all are negative people. He's a very optimistic person. He sees life with the brightness and brilliance that we don't see. And maybe he's the only one on earth to see that and to not see the evidence. But that's how the guy lost it. I think he lost. He lost it. He tries to find excuses. You know, just say the truth because you look ridiculous by saying stuff like that. No, even the fans don't believe it. Even the fans.
How can you be one of the most entertaining and dynamic sides when your goal difference is +1 for the whole season?
Honestly. What? This game, see the second half of this game, if you went down the park, you could see the same on the park. Mm-hmm. Because neither side did anything but just cough the ball up. It was incredible the amount of times that both sides were throwing men. Yes, they were throwing men forward, but then both of them were guilty of making bad decisions, and then all of a sudden, it's another charge of the Labour Brigade up the other end because there's so much space, and then by the time they get up that end, then Burnley give it away, and then it's a charge of the Labour Brigade back. It was like watching a schoolboy game. I mean, it was just incredible. And look, for the neutral, it must have been good to watch, but as a football game, and in technical terms, it was awful.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
We've talked before about maybe he's saying things publicly, but privately within the dressing room, he's saying something different. The more you hear of this,
hopefully,
the less you kind of think that must be happening. Because You can't go out and say that to the media and then come back and go, oh, I've just told them this, but really, this is what I think. You can't do that week in, week out, because it just, surely these players have no belief in him.
Well, and that, I think, is the key. I don't think anybody sitting in that locker room, whenever Erik ten Hag shows up and says what he needs to say about the game, at this point, I don't think anybody sitting in the locker room is actually paying attention. I think right now you're just taking information in one ear and out the other, because you're looking at a guy, and players know this, players feel this, you're looking at a guy who's a dead man walking. And frankly, the more you hear Erik ten Hag talk, the more you want to say to him, stop talking!
Yes.
Stop! Don't do this to yourself. And does he not have anybody in his life, anybody in his circle, who tells him, Erik, you're not making any sense. You're not making sense. What you're saying is not right. When you're saying that we're one of the most dynamic teams and you see the performance today, and if by dynamic you mean, yeah, it was back and forth, yeah, it was open, but it also highlighted how poor Manchester United is in the attacking half or in the final third in not finishing chances. And it also highlighted how many chances they gave up. And if it wasn't because Burnley, they're so poor in the final third, this game should have finished 4-4. But they're both so poor that we end up 1-1 and we're having a conversation because this team is dynamic. Somebody's got to tell Erik, hey, whoever's in your life, tell them, stop, come back. Come home, stop talking, don't talk to anybody else. Shut up! Don't talk! It's enough! You're not making any sense.
Frank, anything you'd like to add?
No. Let's talk about Chelsea if you want to.
Okay, all right, we'll talk about Chelsea in a moment. First, I want to remind you that the FA Cup final is coming up next month, live from Wembley. Manchester City taking on, Manchester, who will be in charge of Manchester United for that game? That'd be quite interesting. Coverage starts 9 a.m. Eastern, ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Aston Villa taking on Chelsea in the late game in the Premier League. Villa actually would have a 2-0 lead going into the second half, but one of the best performances we've seen from Chelsea would occur after the break. They, in fact, would make it 2-2. They thought they got the winner late on, but De Sassi's effort would be ruled out because of foul in the build-up. So in the end, it's a point apiece. Frank, let's start with the goal. Rightly chalked off for you?
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. I don't know how Badiashile think he could get away with that push and think that it wasn't a foul. Yes, of course, it's a clear foul. But you know what? At the first 45 minutes of the game, I think, well, Emery is a clever guy. He scores an early goal. Now it drops off. Wait for Chelsea, who cannot create, even if they had one chance Jackson, who hit the post. But mainly, they had the possession of the ball, but they couldn't do anything. And Aston Villa were taking the chance in counter-attack as soon as they got the ball. And I say, it's going to work. They scored a second goal. They're gonna hammer Chelsea every time they have a chance, even in the second half. And then, miracle. Pochettino maybe said something in the dressing room, guys, if we don't change the pace of the game, we're going to be smashed. They changed the pace of the game and the game changed. Mm. And it was another Chelsea. And because of Aston Villa tactic and Emery's tactic, wasn't able to change that thing and get a little bit higher on the field. Aston Villa didn't exist anymore in the second half. So I was happy to see the reaction. A win could have been deserved for Chelsea, but I think it's a good draw away from home, especially after the game that they had at the Emirates Stadium.
Yeah, much better from Chelsea compared to what we've seen of late. Frank, who impressed you? Who caught your eye today from Chelsea?
Madueke in the second half, for sure. He was the only one moving and firstly changing the pace. But I have to give credit to Gallagher as well. I mean, working his socks off for 90 minutes, like he always do, and he scored a beautiful goal. It was complete. Now we have to talk about Mudrić as well, but in the other way. Where was he?
Well, where was he indeed, Frank? It seems to be a common theme with him, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I mean, you give time to a young player to adapt, especially when you come from a country in war. And so, you know, psychologically, it's difficult. But it's been a while now. And if it works with his country, because he's been scoring goals with his country, it doesn't work with Chelsea. He goes fast, but he seems to lose it. He seems to have no clue how football can be played together with all his teammates. He has a feeling. Subconsciously, he has something, maybe a gift, but it's like he never learned to play with his teammates.
Away from Mudrić, Stevie, a little glimmer of hope.
Oh, is that, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've been saying all along that they've got ability, but they just don't know how to use it. And Mudrić is the perfect example. He just has no control.
But it would be a positive. We're being positive.
Aye, but
yeah. Kind of. Sort of.
I'm saying it's right. Good. You're 2-0 down. You're putting a great...
Right. Forget Mudrić. Yes. Yeah, I'm with Frank. If they had won this game, I don't think Aston Villa could have too much problem.
Nope.
By the finish, Villa were hanging on. So, yeah, but I can't help it. I'm going to go.
Sunday matches. No, we're going to. That's it. That's it. Let's end on a positive note.
Yes, yes, very positive.
I'm sorry.
Three games for you on Sunday: South Coast seeing Bournemouth, Brighton, and then the North London derby: Spurs against Arsenal. Can't wait for that. What a match it should be! And then a huge tie for both sides for very different reasons in Nottingham Forest taking on Manchester City. Forest, of course, are looking to extend. This is between them and the relegation zone. City, well, need to be City. Oh, mixed bag. Mm. Frank reckons Spurs are going to win 3-1.
What?
Ooh. What? Are we talking about this game? We are. Frank, what's going on?
Well, you know what? I saw Everton against Liverpool, and I know the pride of Spurs and the way they play. You know, everybody has been absolutely nice to, and rightly so, with Postecoglou. And last year, nobody believed that he can win against Arsenal. Why? They're going to play offensively with a crazy atmosphere. It's a derby. And we saw what the 12th man can do in a game like that. And we saw that against with Everton against Liverpool. Of course, Arsenal is going much better than Liverpool. But I mean, it's a derby. Mm. You have to forget everything and all consideration that you have comparing the two clubs. It's a derby at Spurs Stadium with Spurs being far away from who they were last season. I want to believe that it's possible. Remember that I put Manchester United winning against Liverpool, and they did, and I was the only one. Let's see.
Okay. Oh, God. Right. How arrogant and punchable is your face right now, Frank? I'm saying
there's as much as a face behind you.
Oh, my God.
How'd you see squirrel in a nut?
Oh, yes, remember when I said that this would happen?
And
it did.
What
have you done? What have you gone for?
The expression. Huh? I think as a draw.
Right.
And for all the reasons that Frank just mentioned, but I'm not taking it as far as Frank is. I really think that it's just about this game becoming emotional, this game becoming more about sort of challenges and the rhythm that Arsenal wants to play with perhaps may not be there. That maybe brings Spurs into the match with some moments of transition, and that's when perhaps they become dangerous. I think the emotions of the game take this into a draw, but it's not like I'm over here saying, yeah, I truly believe this. Arsenal should win the match. If they're going to trip up, this seems like the game that potentially they trip up in.
Arsenal. I think this is comfortable.
Yeah. What about the drama of the derby and Frank and Manchester United?
Listen, I don't disagree with any of that at all. I told you the other day that I was worried about that when Liverpool played Everton. But saying that, Arsenal, all those big wins that have gotten Arsenal such a great goal difference, they scored all those goals against teams that just opened up and let them play. Mm. And that's exactly what Tottenham do. So I cannot see how Arsenal don't take advantage of it.
Just a reminder, we'll all be laughing at Frank on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us. So we'll be reflecting on the North London derby. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Atletico Madrid would beat Athletic Club by 3-1. Big win for them and their chase for a Champions League place. They are now 6 points clear of Athletic Club. Unfortunately, the game overshadowed by the fact it had to be stopped in the first half because of racial insults that were thrown towards Nico Williams. Here's what he had to say after the game.
I went to take the corner and I heard some monkey noises from the fans. There were only a few of them. There's stupid people everywhere, so it's okay. You have to keep working. We hope that this keeps changing because we've got an internal and external fight against this. It is what it is. I was celebrating with a little bit of anger. It's not nice that you get insulted for the colour of your skin, but so we'll keep working, and that's it.
I have to ask you about that moment that the referee stopped the game because there were some shouts in the stands. What do you think about this situation?
Yeah, I didn't hear. I didn't know exactly what happened, but I think whatever it happened on the pitch, and that there need to be a respect from the stands, from the players, from everyone. And if it was something wrong, it's not good. And I think it was the right decision to stop the game and to tell the people to stop doing inappropriate things.
That's what would you tell the supporters, I guess, this message?
Of course. I mean, wherever we go, you hear everything from the stands, and I understand that the people are sometimes angry, sometimes they are not... They don't agree with the players, but I think there always need to be respect for everyone, not just here, all over the world. And I think that's a good thing that referees start to stop the games when something is not right. So I'm sure that with the time, the things gonna go on better, and that these kind of things we will not hear anymore in the stadium.
Gemma joins us. Gemma, of course, travels around La Liga covering all the games for us. This seems to be, Gemma, growing to be a big problem with Atleti. We saw it with Vinicius Junior, those horrible chants outside the stadium, in it as well. And once again today, it's this group of fans that clearly have used racial language to try and upset the opposition?
Yes, Dan, it's a shame that we have to speak again of this problem. It's not the first time, as you mentioned, here in this stadium. And it's so frustrating because it takes so long to try to do something. The La Liga are trying to work on that, but then it needs to go to the justice. The justice in Spain is slow. So one has the feeling of that frustration. In words of Nico Williams, we had the chance to talk to his older brother, Iñaki. He was much more strong in the message, saying that this is not the first time that his brother is affected. And it's awful. They need to speak out loud, and things need to be done. Stronger things, and that's what it needs to be done, because it's not the first time in this stand. It's true that after this incident, the club moved more security people in that area. But if this is known, La Liga needs to take action. The club needs to take action with this kind of radical supporters who have no kind of education, no kind of, and this shouldn't be allowed. And they should be taking measures like closing this stand or doing something stronger, because what we know is that this keeps on repeating and the problem is still here, and it's a problem that is absolutely not tolerable at this year's. It's awful too. It's a shame for Spain and for Spanish football, I think, Dan, that these situations are repeating.
Yeah. Something has to be done. And we've sat here and said that so many times.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's repeat offenders. When it comes to Civitas Metropolitano and the Atletico Madrid fans, and while people are going to go crazy and say, well, it's not all of us, well, but it's happening in your stadium. It's happening in your stadium, and it's happening multiple times. And this part really annoyed me. When this was going on with Vinny Jr., there were some out there that were sort of pointing the finger at Vinny Jr. Said, well, he's provoking the fans with his behavior on the field. And so, therefore, the passion of the fan takes over, and so they're going to yell whatever they're going to yell. No, that's not an excuse. That's intolerable, right? But that's Vinny Jr. What did Nico Williams do to deserve this? Well, so what's the excuse about Nico Williams? How is it that he behaved on the field that provoked the fans to take him to this level of ignorance and this level of behavior? So the common denominator here is it's not Vinny Jr., it's not Nico Williams, it's the color of their skin and the fans at Civitas Metropolitano and the Atletico Madrid fans. That is the common denominator. And until something is not done, and Gemma's talking about stronger, well, what does stronger mean? It has to be something that affects the club financially. It has to be something that affects the club in terms of standing. So I'm talking about point deductions. I'm talking about playing with an empty stadium. Those are the sort of steps that we need to see so that the fans that are behaving like this know and understand that their behavior is now impacting what happens out there on the field, in a negative manner, their club, the club that they say they love, the club that they're so passionate about, now is suffering because of your behavior. That's what needs to happen, and needs to happen now. Not this whole process, bureaucratic process that goes through the justice system, back this way, and back that way, and the Federation, and La Liga, and so on and so forth, and nothing really gets accomplished. It has to get into the pocket of Atletico Madrid, and it has to get into point deductions against Atletico Madrid. Otherwise, this has no impact on Atletico Madrid on the field, and therefore the fans just take it for granted and say, we'll get away with it. If you allow it to get away with it, this is going to continue to grow, and it's going to continue to get worse.
Why aren't people like FIFA getting involved in this? Because clearly, the Spanish FA don't want anything to do with this. They keep throwing it into the bureaucracy of the government and all this other stuff, which always takes forever, and they know that. And they're just using that to hide. They can simply just turn around on Monday and say, right, straight off the bat, next home game, nobody's gone. And then Atletico Madrid as a club will start taking a notice, because they'll start figuring out this is going to cost us financially. And football's at the highest level is all about finance now. And eventually, somewhere down the line, if they use some strong-arm tactics, people in the stadium will stop other supporters, because they know eventually it's going to hurt them personally.
We'll say thank you very much to Gemma, as always. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
They did it again. Incredible run that Bayer Leverkusen are on. Not only being unbeaten, but leaving it so late time and time again to keep that run continuing. This time it was against Stuttgart in the Bundesliga. A late equaliser saw it finish 2-2. So that's 46 games now unbeaten. Let's get some reaction after the game with Archie.
Xabi, this is getting ridiculous. What is this?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen something like that in such short periods, so many late goals, so it's hard to explain. It's kind of ridiculous, but for us it feels great, you know, to play at home and you see the feeling that the fans, they really believe. The players as well, they really believe that it might come, and lately it has been coming.
I wasn't allowed to go up, but I trust my boys, and last week it was a corner kick, this week it was an indirect free kick, and we have to be there where the magic happens, and we were there, and Rob Andrich, with a little bit of luck, full power, ball is in, and we keep on going.
As Xabi Alonso mentioned, he's never seen this before over such a short period. So many late goals for his side. Let's take it back to the Europa League. Round of 16, Karabakh 2-1 up in stoppage time. Patrick Schick with a header to earn the draw. Then 1 week later, in the second leg, on the brink of elimination, again down 2-1 in stoppage time, it's deja vu. And Schick equalises in the 93rd minute here.
And he gets better.
Indeed, it does get better, because you then go to the 97th minute and it's Schick who scores the winner.
Never in doubt.
Incredible.
It is just nuts how it just keeps happening. And then you take it to West Ham. Leverkusen trail, of course. They'd still be going through. However, Frimpong scores here in the 89th minute, late draw, and they remain unbeaten.
We can take it even further back in Bundesliga play. This has been happening all year long.
1-1 here. And what did I say to the Bundesliga just last weekend?
Okay.
Dortmund taking on Bayer Leverkusen with seconds left to play. Stanisic's header would extend that unbeaten run. You keep thinking, oh, they can't keep getting away with it, but they do. It is quite extraordinary how these late winners, equalisers, see Xabi Alonso's side avoid defeat once again. 38 wins, 8 victories, 0 defeats. What's the bets on a late winner then in the German Cup? That is coming up next month. They're taking on Kaiserslautern. That game live on ESPN Plus at 11 a.m. Eastern. Two goals for Harry Kane saw Bayern Munich beat Frankfurt by 2-1. That means that he's now scored 400 goals for club and country in his career. Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund, terrible preparation for their game against PSG on Wednesday as they were thrashed by Leipzig by 4-1. Here's Jadon Sancho.
I think overall we just lost focus after the first goal. And this is something that we've been struggling on this season. I just think, you know, I guess we just got to move on and just focus on Wednesday. But I'm sure in the dressing room now we're all going to be reflecting on what happened today. And this can't happen on Wednesday in the Champions League. So this is a wake-up call.
Was the Champions League match maybe already in the back of your mind?
No, not at all. As you can see, I think the first 20 minutes we played really well. And then once we scored the first goal, I felt like we stopped playing our football. And this is something that we just need to work on and hopefully improve on. I'm sure the team knows this because that was part of the talk at halftime.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Frank and his very fancy background.
Yeah.
Will be joining us, Stevie and Ali, of course, here as well, as we answer some of your questions, including what does Stevie think of pigs in blanket? As always, big, big questions addressed.
Yeah. Our hitting questions.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Let's get to it. Ali and Stevie are here, but they are mere bit part players compared to where we're going to start today. And that is, of course, with Frank LeBeouf's background. Frank, you're going to have to talk us through what is going on there. First is the Man U.
Yeah, first I have a TV, and there is a background, and normally I just have to switch on the TV and it comes out. But today it didn't work, so I have a painting, and it's a beautiful painting about Alain Delon. Hold on, is it? No, it's the other side.
Yes.
The other side. Alain Delon. Alain Delon is one of the famous actors that we have in France.
Oh.
And at his prime, he was in so many movies, fantastic, handsome guy, you know. And I love the painting, and I got it. And today, because I didn't know what to do, I put the painting on, and I think it's kind of nice.
I like it.
It's kind of nice.
I like it. Who's the better actor, you or him?
Oh, yeah, it's him. The guy is, he's something.
Now, it looks
I tell
like,
you.
It looks like someone's punched a hole and just used some foil to cover up like a circle. On your right, Frank, what's that about?
No, it's just, it's kind of a flower, I would say.
No, it's a bit of foil.
It's over here.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I think the artist lost his mind as well. Like, a little bit like, maybe it's Ten Hag. I don't know. No, it's not Ten Hag. No, but I think, it's lost, but it's nice. You know, you have a motorbike here.
Oh, it's a motorbike.
You have a famous face. And I don't know, but he's having a cigarette, and you have
How much did you pay for that?
Somebody's career.
Or how much did he pay to take it?
Nothing. Yeah. The guy owed me something, so he couldn't pay me, so I took it.
€10?
it's worth like it was a lot. It was a lot now, so it's good. No, I keep it.
Oh yeah. Well, you can see why.
He's an art connoisseur.
And a foil stuck to it. Ali, I know you're upset about a question regarding Klopp's tenure a couple of days ago. Just so you know, Dan chooses the question, so please direct your ear towards the wee man. And just to confirm, a lot of people believe that I do pick the questions or write the questions. I promise you, I do not do either of those things.
And to say that I was upset about the question is quite a stretch.
Oh, okay.
In fact, there was a lot of sarcasm. And all I said was to the people and the group or the individual that pick the questions that we can do better.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Well, just to confirm that I have nothing to do with anything, really. I just turn up and that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Here you go. For Stevie, have you ever, as a manager, had a bust-up with a player like Salah did with Klopp?
Not on the touchline, no.
You would keep that inside?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wait, I imagine there were quite a few bust-ups.
No, not really, no.
Oh.
No. I would go mental on the sideline, but I, as far as having a go at people, no. A guy called Danny Hernandez, him and I squared up once, and then a few of the boys jumped in and separated
us. What was the... What?
I can't remember. It was half-time, and I'm going to assume that we were awful.
Right.
And he just happened to be one of the ones I was having a go at, and he had a problem with it, and he stood up.
Right.
So I took a pace forward, and then the old... in each other's face, and then a few of the lads come in. The lads who came in were bigger than both me and Danny.
Right.
So they stopped it. So it was done.
And was there was no conversation about it? Nothing?
No.
That was it?
Situations like
that. When did he get traded?
The following day.
Yep.
Situations like that happen just on the spot of the moment.
Yes.
Disappear. Generally,
this
not
one,
always.
This one hasn't, has it?
Well, this is something that's been going on between the two of them.
Right.
For him to have a little snap at him and a wee smarty pants.
This is what you assume happened, yeah? That he had a word.
I'm assuming,
got him going.
The two of them obviously have not been seen eye to eye about something.
Yes.
And there's no question, Klopp has just dropped his guard. And let his feelings get involved and had a little snip at him. And then we saw what happened after they did that. So Salah's probably every right to not be happy, by the way.
Do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
Has no substance to it whatsoever. Right. But obviously Salah was linked to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Stays, maybe Klopp goes to his house and says, look, come on, stick with me, stick with the project. Look what we got going. We've got a great thing here. And then, towards the end of the season, Klopp decides, oh, actually, I've had enough of this project, I'm leaving. Salah's saying, I just turned down this big money move to Saudi Arabia. You're abandoning me, now what?
Wow.
That's my theory, everyone. There's no substance to it.
What a soap opera that is.
It's absolutely a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
I came up with that.
It's not the worst idea you've ever come up with. I'll tell you that.
There you are.
Investigative reporting by Dan Thomas.
Yes, there we go.
That's exactly what you do.
See, no time to write questions. I'm thinking all these things. Frank, did you have a bust up with a manager or experience or see or witness what we saw today on the touchline?
No, never. And I think it's pretty nice to never see that. You know, and even nowadays, you know, sometimes we have some pressure with the 98 squad, where sometimes, you know, we can have arguments between some players who became pundit and some people still involved in the football business, like Laurent Blanc, Didier Deschamps. And I always try with Vicente Lizarazu to be the mediator, because people want to keep the image of 98 French team a good image. We all get along very well together, which is untrue and almost impossible. Sometimes we have fights, but as long as you respect each other, it's fine. But at some point, it went very far with kind of like two players, and we had to go inside and say, come on, guys, we have to keep it private. It doesn't help to go publicly, like did Salah or some other people. So I like stories where only between two people keeping silent or private.
I love it when it goes public. It's great.
Well, what about your investigative reporting?
Of course.
Because then if it goes public, then all your investigative reporting is all for naught.
No, because I've led the way. I've shown people why.
All right.
Why this stuff is happening. What's the background?
Yeah.
You should see my ESP, my 30 for 30.
Yes. Your 30 for 30 is going to be like 5 for 5.
That's a stretch.
He's calling himself a trailblazer, this guy.
For Ali, after losing 4-1, Dortmund will surely beat PSG, right?
Yeah. Well, that is the tendency of Dortmund, that they look
rubbish in the league.
Yes, they look awful, and then somehow they manage to create a performance, a manufacture a performance that puts them through in Champions League. I think they may just be coming up to a level that they're not quite ready for. I imagine. I've watched this team play the whole season, and the fact that they're in the semifinals of Champions League, it's quite surprising. And it has to be surprising for them as well. They cannot honestly look at themselves and say, yeah, that's right, this is where we belong, semifinals of Champions League, because their performances domestically do not warrant this sort of performance in terms of what they've done in the competition. And so at some point, their deficiencies defensively are going to show up. And I imagine that against PSG and against potentially the best player in the world in Kylian Mbappe, this may just be the time.
Stevie, with Liverpool's loss tonight, it seems eras do not end how you want them to. How did your own Liverpool era of greatness end?
Well, the problem is, when you have such a great era, when it comes to an end, it's clearly because things are going wrong.
Yes.
So it's never going to end well.
Yeah, of course.
So what you've got to do is... Hopefully, sooner rather than later, you understand that that's what happens in football, and then you just remember how good it was when it was good.
Were you one of the last men standing?
I was probably, yeah, aye, I would be. Yeah, as soon as took over in 92, I left 94.
Right.
And we won, the last time we won the league before Klopp's boys was 90.
1990, yeah?
Yeah.
Frank, my son has a theatre performance at his school tonight. Any advice you could share from a World Cup winning thespian?
What I can say to somebody, and I always say that, you know, when you are in a play, you have to be sincere. You have to listen to your partners, not telling your lines while they talk. You have to forget it. I talked to one of the biggest actor on stage that we, in French we know, and I had a dinner 14 years ago before my first time in, on stage, and he said, you have to forget your lines because there is something who's going to remind you of the lines, and it comes, and sometimes you can come on stage without knowing what, you got, what you're about to say, and it comes out. So just be sincere, just try to enjoy the time. Don't be scared of the fear that you have inside yourself, because it's going to help you to get to be better. But again, be sincere.
Oh, there we go. Be sincere. I like that. Good bit of advice.
Talk to everything hard.
Maybe just in life as well, not just on the stage. Stevie, do you think Liverpool is regretting turning down the offer for Mo Salah last summer?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, you can't. You can't wait till something plays out, particularly when it goes wrong, and then come up with that.
With hindsight, if you go back in time, would you have sold him?
If somebody turned around to Liverpool and said, by the way, at the end of the season, you're going to win the Carabao Cup and nothing else, then of course, from a financial point of view, you go, well, if that's all we're going to get, we could probably get that without him. So you take the money.
Right, so, you would regret then not selling him in the
No, you can't say that.
I think you can.
You can.
When
the toss is already bolted, it's too late to figure out what you should have done, right? So it doesn't count.
I think it does count.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. If somebody said to you, right?
Yeah.
You're a Liverpool fan.
Right.
If somebody said, in April, if you keep Mo Salah, I'm guaranteeing you in April, you're going to be in four competitions.
Right.
Including Europa League, you'll already have the Carabao Cup in the bag,
you'll
be in the FA Cup, and you'll be sitting top of the Premier League.
Wow.
If you keep Mo Salah, you would say, well, we better keep Mo Salah.
But then what would happen if
you don't know what's going to happen?
Said on April the 27th, you will then be out of the Premier League title race, out of the Europa League, out of the FA Cup, and you won the Carabao Cup.
You've proven my point that you can't change the rules when it's too late.
You've just already changed the rules. Why are we going from April?
No.
Yes.
Well, if somebody says, you can't be clever after the event.
But it's
all this is doing is being clever after the event.
Right. But it's okay to be clever after the event. It's okay to say, yes, with hindsight, we should have sold him because we've ended up with just the Carabao Cup, which you've just said we'd have won anyway.
Look, I get what you're saying. It's one of those hypotheticals, but I'm not.
You know that this is what we do, right? We're clever after the event. This is what we do every day.
Some ways we do, but...
And very clever.
Yes.
Very clever.
Very clever after the event.
Final question. I didn't actually know this was a Scottish thing.
What?
Would you consider pigs in a blanket to be Scottish sushi?
No, I'm trying to remember exactly what pigs in a blanket is. I've heard the expression.
So it's a sausage, little sausage with pastry.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Look at those hands. Look at those hands.
It's very small.
Well, it's a sausage roll, then.
No.
It's not dissimilar.
Not dissimilar, no.
Right.
To a sausage roll, but...
Of course not. Sushi is a fish. A sausage is not a fish.
Yeah.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, you cook the sausage. You don't cook sushi.
No, that's where we are. That's today's revelation, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
Thanks for coming.
Yes, thank you very much. More tips from Stevie Nicol on the next edition of the show.
Get my cookery book out this Christmas.
Is that it? Are you here tomorrow as well?
No.
Oh,
I am.
Good day.
I'll see you next week sometime.
If anyone has a new fridge freezer they'd like to donate to Steve Nicol,
please, quickly.
Mine's just packed in.
And the measurements will be coming. Very accurate.